You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, and we will read this morning, if you would follow along, verse 21 through 24. Luke 10, 21 through 24. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word, for the scriptures, for this gospel, this account that you inspired Luke, the beloved physician, to write down. And thank you, God, then that you preserved it for us, as you will for all of time and eternity. Lord, let us hear your voice this morning. Let us be enriched, fed, and blessed in your presence. And by this, your word, the bread from heaven, that we may grow thereby. That you would be glorified, that we would hear your voice and know that we have been in the presence of the Lord, the one who has forgiven all our sin. We thank you for it, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. The title of my sermon today is Revealed to Babes. Revealed to Babes. You remember last week we looked at the verses just before this where Christ, where we're told about the return of the 70 that Christ had sent out two by two, and they had gone under his direction and through his authority and in the power of his name and did what he did. They went out, they preached the gospel, they called people's attention to the presence and availability of the kingdom of God, and then they displayed it with power in his name to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And they had returned. That's the section we looked at last week. They came back. He didn't send them out for good. He had sent them out for a specific period of time and purpose to prepare the way in various cities and villages in the area on his way to Jerusalem. And they returned, and they were filled with joy. They were ecstatic because of their experience in results, in seeing lives change, in seeing demonized people set free, in recognizing that the dark spiritual world was subject completely to the name of Jesus. Then, of course, Jesus responded to them, having seen Satan fall like lightning from heaven when he fell, and one-third of the angels with him were told in another place. And then he gave us that assurance that in his authority, in his name, we could overcome the enemy. Trample, he said, on serpents and scorpions, a kind of an analogy or an allegory, and have power over all of the power of the enemy and not be fearful of being hurt. But then he reminded them and us to not rejoice so much in that as in the fact that our name is written in his book of life in heaven. That we are forgiven and redeemed and heirs, as we said earlier, and assured of eternal life. And the joy was contagious at the moment, I guess you could say. Because verse 23, our passage today, says Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He and the Holy Spirit, in whose power they had gone, rejoiced together. And in that joy, he spoke to his Father. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And never forget that. If you want to underline something in your Bible, that's a good thing to underline. That our Father in heaven is Lord, Master of heaven and earth. No matter what it looks like is going on in this world, he is still Lord. But Jesus, in speaking that, and speaking to the Father, says, you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Revealed them to babes. Now these babes, as we call it, or as he called it, excuse me, had shown us what faith in action looks like. They were sent. Jesus commissioned them in that passage there in the first part of chapter 10. And he told them to go, and he told them what to do, and he told them how to do it. And the way we know they had faith, they went. That's what living faith looks like. It works. They believed what he said. And he called them babes. He called them little children. They took what Jesus had been showing them and teaching them, and they put it into practice. Did they have it all together? No, they were babes. That's also translated, the Greek word is little children. They weren't super saints. In fact, they weren't the wise and prudent. Jesus made that point. But they believed, and they obeyed. They were interested in participating in the kingdom of God. I like a prayer that I came across by a theologian named Soren Kierkegaard, if I said that right. But he prayed this, Lord Jesus Christ, save us from the error of wishing to admire you instead of being willing to follow you and resemble you. That's what Christ has called us to do. Not just to admire him, not just to think that he's really great, but to follow him, to seek to hear his voice, to do what he says, to become like him, to do what he did. Babes, little children. They weren't super saints. They weren't spiritual heroes. They weren't the ancient old experts. They were little children. Men and women who believed and obeyed. And when they did, heaven moved into earth. The kingdom of God became apparent where they were, just as it was apparent where Christ was. If God can use those folks that Jesus called little children or babes, I'm sure he can use us if we will do what they did. If we'll believe and act on what he said. We saw in that first part contagious joy. The disciples were excited, filled with joy. And Christ rejoiced with them, along with the Holy Spirit. Then we see a family invitation. verse 22. Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. It all belongs to God. We used to sing a hymn, this is my Father's world. Everything that exists belongs to God the Father. And Jesus said that the Father delivered all of that to him. And in a very real sense, in a very practical way, he did, because the reason why all of it will exist and all of it will be redeemed and all of it will be eternal is because of Christ. Because of his obedience to the Father, his love for God his Father and for us, and the sacrifice he paid. It was all handed to him, and he succeeded in fulfilling the Father's will. He said, it's all been given to him by his Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son. We see absolute sovereignty. We see intimate relationship. Intimate relationship between the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, you know, before all of this started, that's who existed. And they together agreed for history to happen, for creation to take place. And finally and ultimately to extend their relationship, their family, their communion with all the redeemed. And we see an intentional inclusion. So no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and no one knows who the Father is but the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Christ came to reveal the Father and to offer inclusion to you and me in that relationship. We're going to look at some more of that here in a few moments. But that's his intention. The Trinity intends to share their unity with all who will believe and enter in. You remember Jesus said, and I've mentioned it many times in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God's intention is to bring you and me into their fellowship, into the intimacy of the Trinity. Again, in John 17, later in that prayer, and that's what John 17 is. It's a prayer. It's the prayer of Christ. In verse 20 through 23, Jesus prays, I do not pray for these alone, but also from those who will believe in me through their word. That includes you and me. That they all may be one. That's that community of the Trinity. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Is that awesome grace or what? The love the Father has for the Son, he has for you and for me. And for all who will believe and receive and follow Jesus Christ the Lord. There is no limit to how far, how high, or how deep you can go in knowing God through Jesus Christ. He wills to reveal him. That was the very essence of his prayer in John 17. He's calling us into that eternal fellowship and community of the Trinity in their presence. That's what Jesus came for. That's what excited his heart. That's why he's rejoicing, is to bring you and I into that unimaginable pleasure, blessing, and fellowship. And then finally we see an excelling experience. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus turns to his disciples, to those who made that serious and honest and real decision to follow him. And he said privately, there is a specialness for you and I who follow Jesus, that those who do not follow Jesus, those who have not said yet yes to Christ yet, there is a difference. There's a special place for us. Jesus turned and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and hear what you hear and have not heard it." It is very, very easy for us to get so caught up with life in this world, for everyday living and all the stuff that goes on and all the ups and downs and all kinds of things, and forget and fail to recognize and be aware of the unbelievable privilege that we live in as new covenant believers, as people on this side of the cross who have been born of the Spirit, who've entered God's family. He said this to disciples, not spectators or thrill seekers, but intentional followers, to you and to me. He said, "You are blessed." And it's so easy to get, like I said, so busy or so overcome or so covered up and fail to remember how blessed, blessed we are to be children of God, to have a standing invitation into the community of the Trinity, to know and fellowship with the Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word used there in the Greek for blessed is supremely blessed, fortunate, well off. The new covenant in Christ through the Holy Spirit confers on us unimaginable opportunity to know and experience God now, beyond even many of the prophets and kings we read about in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said. He said, "You see and you hear as believers, as those who know Christ and have relationship with God on this side of the cross. You have seen, you have heard things that even they did not, that even kings and prophets that we've read about in the Old Testament did not see, did not experience." Well, what did the disciples see and hear? What do we have that they didn't? As one person put it, God with skin on. God with skin on. That's what the incarnation was. That's what Jesus came to do. When he came with a revelation and the purpose of showing us who the Father is. That's his intention. That's what he came to do. And no one has ever known God in the fullness that Jesus came to show us him. as deep and as wonderful and as amazing as all the stories we read in the Old Testament, and Elijah and Daniel and Ezekiel, and there's Isaiah and other kings, and all the experiences and things they had with God, never did their understanding and the revelation of God reach the fullness that it is and has been ever since in Jesus Christ the Son. That's how blessed we are. That's how important it is to be a Christian. I heard a story my daughter shared with us this week. Kind of fits. It's about a visit by the Pope to the U.S. The Pope just finished a tour of New York and was taking a limousine to the airport. He'd never driven a limo before, so he asked the driver if he could drive for a while. The driver pulled over along the roadside, climbed into the back of the limo, and the Pope took the wheel. The Pope then drove onto the highway and accelerated to over 90 miles an hour just to see what the limo could do. Suddenly, the Pope noticed the light of a police car in his side mirror, so he pulled over. Now, this is just a story, folks. Stay with me. The policeman came to the limo, looked in through the windows, then said, "Just a moment, please. I need to call my chief." The policeman called his chief and explained to him that he had a very important person pulled over for speeding. "How do I handle this, chief?" asked the policeman. "Is it the governor?" questioned the chief. "No, this guy's even more important." "Is it the president?" asked the chief. "No, even more important." "Well, who is it then?" screamed the chief. "I don't know, sir," replied the policeman, "but he's got the Pope as his limo driver." We have Christ as our revelation of the fullness of who God is. That makes us blessed beyond measure. The fullest, complete revelation of deity is Christ Himself. In Colossians, one of Paul's letters, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Jesus, says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." Then in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, "For in Him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." And finally, the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets," none of those ways and times equaled the time when Christ came, "has in these last days," the writer says in verse 2, "spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." That's who Jesus is. And that's the blessing, the privilege, the amazing place we as followers of Christ find ourselves in today. He invites you and me and all who will come to the Father through Him, not as spectators or simply to be entertained, but to participate with Him in what He is doing, what he is doing, to enjoy and experience the Father's love, glory and grace, even in the measure of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what Jesus said in John 17, that you have loved them as you have loved me. Say yes to him today, for every day, for the rest of your life and eternity. That's living a blessed life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that it made you happy, that it made Jesus and the Holy Spirit rejoice, that your people, even babes, Lord, even us, saw in Christ your glory and believed it. And therein were empowered to follow him in bringing your kingdom to all who will receive. Lord, let us be faithful in that, living in your blessing and to your glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen.